Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are live from the path.
You're listening live from the path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studio here at Johnston proper. It's good to see you this evening.
It's good to see you too.
As it should be. Hey, here's what we got going on the show tonight. So we're going to do a Secular versus Solomon. It's on tap.
Yeah, buddy.
I haven't done that forever, so we're going to do that. There's some tasty ones in there tonight, boys.
I'm scared.
be prepared to know what the world is up to.
Dan and Ben, actual countries, please.
I don't violate. I'm the moderator. Dan is a violator.
You violate with your eyes.
But Ben already knows the answer, so he doesn't have to come up with
stuff. I came up with the answers. I cannot be wrong.
I'm the guy who failed geography. I know like three countries.
All right, we'll see.
Wait, hold on. Was that consistent in everybody's high school? Like, was geography like a crap class
I never
everywhere,
took it.
Or you just skipped it?
I loved it.
No, I moved like from one school to another. And in one school, it was like the grade ahead of me. And then we moved. And in that school, it was the grade behind me. So I literally never took geography.
I took... nice.
I mean, I never did.
Dan, that's awesome. Didn't you think to mention that to someone? Just like, hey, man, I don't know what you're talking about when it comes to geography.
At that grade, that age, I was just like, oh, cool.
Sweet. I didn't have to take geography. I took geography in my seventh grade year. So
yeah. So that's about the time I moved. So see, there you go. I always figured I can look it up. So why do I need to worry?
So here's the deal. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things where that's true, and I actually think geography is one of them. Right?
Yeah.
Hey man, I'm going to Malaysia.
Yeah.
I got time to check it.
I don't need to know about it until I'm going there.
Yeah.
I will see the physical country. I don't need to see it on a map.
Like aside from the fact that you're heading somewhere, and again, a GPS nowadays will take care of that.
Exactly.
Like, what other country do I need to know like right now? Otherwise, there's dire circumstances.
On that basis, because we have calculators, we should get rid of all math.
There's some cognitive thought that goes in with that.
Cognitive thought to be able to pull up Yugoslavia on a map.
No. It's an efficiency issue, not necessarily an ability issue, right?
Yeah.
I would chuck all mathematics and depend on calculators only if it was efficient to do so. But it takes a lot more. Just like the lady at the Walmart that takes the check out, who still writes the check. Right, mm-hmm. It's just unnecessary. It's not efficient.
And with the huckster, I went and did one of those timeshare things last week. I got some free motel and gave him 2 hours of my life. And when they're sitting there throwing these figures around, you don't have time to pull out a calculator and say, "Wait, let me think this through." He's throwing all these numbers. I'm thinking to myself, "You did not add that correctly." So he lost credibility with me.
There you go.
Right,
if
fine.
I had
keep
used the calculator,
I say we
I
keep geography
too.
Though I enjoyed that class.
Yeah, I'm sure I would have.
Can we just stick with keeping geography in schools?
I punch in Shawnee, Oklahoma on my GPS, and I go, oh, well, I'll get there in about 12 hours. And then I get there, and then it goes a different way.
Troy takes out the Rand McNally that he has under his front seat,
takes out
a ruler.
My wife does that.
And then checks it.
My wife's like, yeah, I've got to have the what do you call it? The
Rand McNally.
Yeah. And I'm like, why?
Yeah, I have to have the full state map and see where I'm at and then check my globe that I keep in my back seat to make sure I'm not in Mongolia at any point in time.
That's some traveling. You know, you got the globe.
It's because I was in geography. I have to make sure that I'm not in a different country.
It changes so often now.
I've never seen those little lines, though. I cross them all the time, but I've never seen them.
Yeah, that's true. You can see them on a GPS.
Very nice.
You know exactly when you change it.
Apparently, I need a GPS then.
All right, you're listening to Life from the Path. Here's the deal. You make mistakes in life, and checking out the first 5 minutes of the show is always one of them.
Yeah.
Even if you like the show, skip the first 5 minutes.
We've got to warm up a little bit.
It's in your own best interest. So here's what we got going on. We're going to do Secular versus Solomon. We're going to do some advice on Dear Life from the Path. Nate Herrera's in studio. He's got some Pope-style advice. I think I have one, too. I'm gonna keep letting it roam through my mind to make sure that I can speak about it adequately, but I think I have some Pope-style advice.
We need that mental food, man. You got to get us off your lawn.
Yeah. You're listening to us at Live from the Path. Oh, sorry, Chad. I may have offended the chat with the no math proposition. you're listening on livefromthepath.org or on 99.3 KTAA. Hey, listen, if you're listening to the KTAA show, thanks for coming. But make sure you check out the live show on Monday nights. You can be part of the chat. We can anger you with things we say as well.
That's right.
and we can
offend you personally.
Yeah. Let us offend you. Listen to the live show.
I think that makes a lot of sense. So here's one of the questions. So last week we talked about why people don't – why people leave the church, whether that's even true – why people, you know, perhaps don't come to begin with. Okay, and just kind of with some peripheral conversations that I've had throughout last week, kind of following that show, completely unrelated because it's not like anybody watched it. But I think it brings up another question: is we're all kind of like hypothesizing why people, you know, are not going, why people leave, and that kind of thing. And the question is like, how well do we actually know people? Right? I mean, when we talk about people's opinions are based upon their own circumstances, right? And the internet is rife with blowhardiness. Ability to propose that the way that you see the world is a way in which other people should see the world and that they should learn from the thing that you say. Right. The very nature of this platform is we just talk with no insinuation that it could may or may not be right. Right. But like the internet is rife with that type of podium. And so the question is like how well do we even know people? Like, so personally, if you were to look out and say, you know what, would you say that you had a good handle on how what people think and what they do and how their life is, Buva?
I wouldn't say that I'm absolutely great at, but I think I'm okay. I mean, I do well enough to have personal relationships with quite a few people, and I've been able to read people for years through the jobs that I've had and through the interactions that I've had. I can pinpoint for the most part. I mess up all the time, but at the same time, I'm actually okay at reading people and getting their thoughts and experiences.
Dan?
I think that every single people group has a tendency to filter everything through their own experience because that's just how we are. That's our nature. That's why racism gets so crazy is because we project our own thoughts on other people and we categorize people, and it's not necessarily true. We don't know individuals. We think, well, you're this skin color or you're that ethnic or whatever, and we kind of throw things at people, and that's how these groups get angry at each other. And then leadership's anyway. I'm kind of straying from you, but yeah, I don't think we really know. I don't think the surveys are totally accurate. I don't know. Is anyone really fully 100% honest on a survey? You know, I mean, they might give you some generalities, but we're still boiled down to we're individual people. I may be flavored by my particular environment, you know, my upbringing, my little world, but I don't think I know fully anybody.
Nate, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I can get a good grasp with people after I've spent some time with them. But then again, every time I start to think that I'm getting to know people,
yeah,
I'm throwing a curveball. So yeah. Do I really know what people think as a broad term? I'd say probably not. I think it takes a sense of personal interaction and some time invested to really understand and know people.
Yeah. And I think maybe what I'm getting at here, Buva aside, who is like a Geraldo of people,
yes,
and knows everybody.
I know everyone.
I think maybe we make a pretty broad mistake in trying to treat large sections of folk as if you know them. You know, like the humanity is such a unique, has like even individuals within humanity are like so unique. And it's very, very difficult to paint them with broad brushes. You may be able to paint their actions, but you don't know the motivations behind their actions, right?
Yeah.
They may express motivation, but there's even things behind what people choose to say and what they don't say, what they share and what they don't share. It depends on what they're asking, but I mean, I will say if I answer a survey, I have problems trying to decide, like, are they asking me what I want to believe or what I do?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what I think is true and how I always act, right? Because I believe strongly that there's a God in heaven. Do I always act like that? No. No. You could look at the portions of my life, you're like, that guy doesn't believe in anything. And so the question is what do people share, what don't they share? And I think the reason that this was floating through my mind today is because, you know, for all the solutions that we think we have or that people think they have, especially as easily shared on a platform like the internet, or even all media for that matter, it's simply an individual thing. It's an individual, like, do you know individual people? Do you know enough about their lives to know where their nuances are, to know where their motivations actually live, to know if what they're expressing are things that they're just regurgitating or things that they have been told to think, to believe, or think to show, or think to feel, or they what they actually feel. And all of the barrier between all that is actually knowing somebody.
Yeah. Everybody has a different story. We all come from a different place, and we all have a different little journey we've been on. I've never, ever, you know, you read those little things of my age group. Everybody has their age group, and they define what my age group acts like. I've never acted like my age group, and I don't know if that means I'm very immature or, I mean, I can read all of them and think that's me or that's not me. It's like they're so vague. You know, it's kind of like a horoscope. You're going to have a beautiful day. Yes! You know, I mean, it's like, well,
and I did. They know me.
You will meet someone. I met several. I mean, you know, there's just too vague. But when you get to know someone and get into their life and know their story and know, you know, have a communication, one-on-one conversation with someone, then I can appreciate you as a human being as opposed to, okay, you're X tall and that color hair and you live in the Midwest. This is what you must believe. You know,
yeah.
It's like, what?
Well, and I think maybe it comes down to me from a Christ following perspective when you think about how you can influence people's lives, how you can help them to make disciples. It's like broad information is really in the who gives a crap category.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Who really cares? Do I care what the millennial generation responds or doesn't respond to? How about do I know anybody that is in that age category?
Yeah, yeah.
What do they think? Right, like what do I care what a national. What the national trend is, what they think people are doing, how some of them responded at some point in time about something.
I suppose if you're making a broad program, you're going to make decisions based on that. But if you're interacting, you're going to do it on
which. I mean, really, if I have to choose a way to make disciples, broad program, personal interaction.
I think Jesus went all the way with broad programs, yeah, didn't he?
I mean, he doubled down on it.
Hey, a lot of people
Tuesdays and Thursday.
Mountain, you don't know that.
Page 38, parable number 7. I really hope there's lilies in this field. Otherwise, it's going to
be really awkward.
Everyone, look at your lily. Now consider
King
it.
Solomon, and how great he was clothed. I hope so.
You know, and I'm not assuming that people are like. That are necessarily doing this, that you're looking at broad things. But I think sometimes we grasp, even as people that love Jesus, and we're like, we want to help people, and we don't know how. And so we grab at things like that. We're like, oh, how can I better reach people? What are they thinking? How do I get into the mind of this person? You know how you do it? You ask them.
You talk to them. we are either in a hurry, or we're trying to make these cookie-cutter things, or we're just plain lazy. Rather than saying, hey, do you want to go grab a cup of coffee? And they're like, no. Okay, I'll go to someone else.
I'll move on. Thank you.
Bummer. This is awkward, but you know, I can see this isn't going anywhere.
Actually, you know how you get around that? You only ask people who already have coffee because you know they can't bail on it.
Like, I see you have coffee. Let's talk.
Come with me to grab that cup of coffee. Just set it down real quick. Grab it right back up.
You always ask someone to meet you somewhere where you know they're already going to be. You know what I'm saying? Like even if you're next to someone in the Target, say, hey, man, you want to meet up and say aisle 10? And then you just wait.
Find people in the laundromat. Everybody wants to go get some laundry in that washing machine?
Everybody needs toilet paper, and you're not scary enough to keep them out of there when people have their needs.
So you're saying that I should just stand in the toilet paper aisle of different places?
It's a great place to meet people.
Yeah. I know you have needs and you desire comfort. I can help.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's a great conversation. Is that Cottonelle?
Do you notice this is 2-ply?
Yeah, exactly. What are your thoughts on the double roll?
Scott Towell's going through a rough patch. I am.
Kids?
I used to work at a factory in college, and I was in the shipping area. And I think I had a half hour conversation with a truck driver about toilet paper one day.
Wow!
I'm just like, dude, I don't really need to know your toilet paper purchasing habits.
I bet
habits.
That's a guy that knows though.
He knew. He could tell you price per square, and he was a total Scott man. He goes, I've done the comparisons, and I'm going, dude, I'm like in college. I don't care. I use what they give me.
This man has done scientific research as to the best products.
He was really proud of himself. But I'll have to admit, for 5 years, I bought Scott after that conversation.
Maybe he secretly worked for Scott. You never know.
He could have.
Boy, that's an expensive ad campaign from the Scott people. Employ truckers.
Go into the marketplace.
And then go talk to people for half an hour of your shift.
So I suppose what all that boils down to is that I think that's probably the crux of my Pope-style advice, right? If there's people standing out on my lawn and they say, Ben, I need some life advice, or otherwise we refuse to leave your lawn, it has to be something that is personal to your life. I think it would be... it's nothing.
Make an appointment one at a time.
Check it out. Talk to individuals.
Might as well go ahead and put up a tent.
I think it would be is that like for as much as you want to change the world, why don't you start next door? you know, why do you start in your house and then kind of next door, and then the guy that you knew from a couple years ago who's having a rough time, and then the lady that you met at the supermarket who also, who maybe not having a rough time, but, you know, maybe because she loves Jesus. And, it, you know, actually, here's what I thought this week. Is I thought, there's no you remember the phrase, there's no I in team?
Yeah.
Okay, they always tell you that, right? But, like, you know what that creates is a team full of people who individually don't give a crap.
Yeah, true.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the last one I want, is a band of people who, like, individually don't care. And I get it, right? I get where that comes from, is you don't want some kind of, you know, big dominant guy who doesn't care about the people around him. But, like, if he doesn't care enough to do to act strongly on himself, to be boldly on his own, the last thing I want is a group of those people hanging around, banding together, and doing the same jokey stuff as a group. Like, the only thing you get from a group there is a bunch of other people to blame it on. Well, we failed.
Yeah.
You kind of failed. You just found a bunch of other guys who would agree to fail with you, so you didn't feel as good. And it's that same who said it? It takes a village to raise a kid?
That was Hillary.
Okay, so here's the last thing I want, right? The last thing I want is a parent who's willing to let wants to pass the responsibility for the kids off to a village. Now, is there a benefit from allowing a bunch of folks into your life to help you raise kids and to, like, have perspectives and to keep you accountable? Yeah, I'm a thumbs up on that. But the last thing I want to do is a bunch of rowdy, randy kids run around town and, like, well, it's the village's problem.
Let them take care of it.
And so, you know, I don't know. For some reason, I think that falls along the same lines for me this week, is that, like, you know, these are intimate things. These are personal things. These are close relationships. These are you. This is you. This is not a group. These are your friends. This is not everybody's friends. This is your wife, not everybody's wife. This is your woman, not everybody's ladies. These are your kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, live in your life. Live in your life and then stop thinking so macro. If everyone thinks micro, the macro will turn out glorious. But sometimes we're like, because we're this well-connected, giant world, like, we're trying to change things for people in big, broad sweeps, and we miss the little things that are going on around us, and then ultimately nothing changes because of that.
So overall, Ben is against teamwork and villages raising children.
Yeah, that's right. What's that? Hold on. What's not what it means? Hold on, the chat is arguing with me.
Uh-oh. They're talking about the village?
Yes.
The village is not about that.
See, that's not what it means.
I didn't actually read the book, so I can't
respond. You don't
want
someone out for themselves being selfish, but someone that wants to work for the benefit of the team. No, I get that. I get that. Like you say, there's no I in team because you don't want someone that's out there for themselves. But here's the deal. If they're not out there for themselves, like, if they don't care enough to do it for themselves, what makes you think they're going to do it for a team? Like, I think that I think it generates, you know, perhaps I would like someone who cares enough about themselves to do it for themselves, and then to also care enough to do that for everyone else.
Yeah.
Right? But there's I think there's sometimes a danger, and I know that when applied and thought of correctly, that there's nothing inherently wrong with the phrase. But I think sometimes what we end up doing with stuff like that is, like, we diminish we somehow it's naughty to be the guy that wants to change things on your own.
Yeah, personal responsibility, personal desire to move forward type of thing. You're just waiting for the crew to go with you or something.
Yeah, so I mean, I get it. I get what you're saying. I think sometimes that it's taken the wrong way by the wrong people, right? By the person that wants to kind of shirk that. So, yeah, no, I hate the phrase. I hate there's no I in team. I think it's outrageous. It's a blight upon humanity.
Well, then how would you start spelling team with an I in it?
It's a festering sore.
I know what Ben's getting for Christmas.
I'm just gonna get him a big poster that says team TIEM.
There is a me in team. You recognize that?
Yeah. Yes, thank you for that.
There's also meat in team. These are
bumper stickers. There is meat in team.
Is there bacon?
No. Oh. All right, you're listening live from the path. All right. What, I don't know.
Eats in there.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, that's your Pope song. Get off my lawn.
off my lawn.
You and your team.
I don't want to hear.
I don't want you on here.
You group of individuals, get out of here.
All right.
We're not going to call you a team.
All right, Nate Herrera, thanks for dropping by the studio, Nate.
Oh, no problem. It's
good
a pleasure.
To see you. Okay, good. So here's the deal. It's very unfair to throw you on the spot with some Pope-style advice, but we were talking a little bit earlier. And I don't know. What's something that you would say has impacted your life? A piece of wisdom.
Yeah. I think the best wisdom that I've received recently, a man once said to me, we were talking about spiritual maturity and really how to grow and using the excuse of, well, I just need more time. I just need more time. Oftentimes we find that as an excuse. We think growth just comes with time. And this guy said to me one time, because I was the guy using the excuse, but the guy said to me, he said, it's not about time. It's about how much of your life you're willing to give up for Christ. The more of your life you're willing to give up for Christ, the more you'll grow spiritually and mature. And I think that just starting with the things, when we look at our own lives and how our own lives reflect, I think those things that we're like, God, I want to keep this. You can have everything else, but I want this and this and this. And those things you can't touch. And I think when we start to give those up is when we really start to see our lives grow. And our spirit, and our inner spirit, and we really learn what it means to walk in the Spirit by doing that, and
start seeing some transformation take place.
Yeah,
as opposed to just like hanging out with a group or attending a church.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You're changing. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. We're called to take up the cross daily. So you know that's absolutely a big deal. I completely agree with that. It can happen in a month. It can happen in 10 years. You know, spiritual maturity is something that God grants and something that you have to accept. And through sanctification, through the process of us being brought under the umbrella, the cloud, whatever you'd like to call it, of the Holy Spirit, and being pushed. What's the
umbrella of the cloud of the Holy Spirit?
Yes. I'm gonna write that down.
That's kind of creepy.
There's another T-shirt right there.
Yeah, exactly. The umbrella.
I am under the umbrella
Spirit.
Of the cloud.
It's a weird way to say it. I'm just
call it the mist.
Being brought into the light and the love of the Holy Spirit and understanding more about God and understanding more about Christ and our relationship.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, I agree entirely that it's not just a thing about time. It's it really is about taking up your cross daily and giving up everything.
Well, I mean, to what Nate said, you can't really be, you're not transformed by putting on a Jesus costume, right? Then you're just a creepy Jesus crossdresser. You know, the question is like, what are you giving up? Like, what did you get out of the way and let God do what he's going to do? Or did you just like put on the God mask and like look around? The creepy Holy Spirit umbrella that you were talking about.
Hey, man, I'm okay with the Holy Spirit holding an umbrella over me so that I don't get wet.
Yeah, I don't think we can sit there and consciously say like, God just isn't doing enough work in my life. You know, it's like,
pick it up here.
Come on, God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the one who created the universe, it just isn't really working a lot. It's like, no, it might be you. Like,
it could be.
I mean, out of the two people in that relationship, the perfect being, and then you, who might be the problem? I don't think I'm going to go point fingers at God.
Yeah. Never works well.
Job. I'm not doing that. That didn't work well for him.
I think that's solid. Give it all up. Stop. Yeah. Brilliant. That's hard.
Oh.
That's hard.
It never ends.
Stand under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit.
I'm going to have to ask you to stop saying that. That's creepy.
It's not creepy. That's creepy. You're making it creepy by continuously saying
no. No, that's true. It was creepy enough to actually put in the New Testament. No, the inspired Word of God didn't say anything about
that. One was cut.
No, you're right. You go ahead.
My apologies.
Luke tried that. The Holy Spirit said no. Yeah.
The Lord didn't capture it well enough. You go ahead.
Fine. Yes, I apologize for that statement.
God said it's okay to add on to it.
You'd yes. Right. Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming for you every Monday night at livefromthepath.org. It's Nate. That's his name. His Nate. What else do you want to know? If you want me to ask him questions, chat, tell me what you want to know, and I will ask him. Try to keep it personal, because no one listens to the show, and it's totally cool to ask him things that he otherwise would be embarrassed to say in front of everybody. Anyway, you're watching every Monday night. You're not watching. At 10 o'clock on livefromthepath.org or Saturdays at 7 o'clock on 99.3 KTA. Hopefully you're catching the podcast because that's where all the fun happens. And
I'm glad
you're hanging out. So, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do one of my favorite aspects of the show. This is America's fastest growing internet game show. We call it Secular versus Solomon.
And now, for America's fastest-growing game show, Secular or Solomon?
Okay, here are the rules. because it's going to go down. I'm going to give you a proverb, a bit of wisdom, and your job is to tell me whether it is a secular bit of wisdom or one biblical bit of wisdom, Solomon, okay? And if it's a secular bit of wisdom, to top it off, you have to tell me the country of origin. Where did that bit of wisdom originate from? So the answer is either going to be secular and a country of origin, or Solomon, meaning it's a biblical bit of wisdom. Everybody good?
I'm good. I'm ready to go.
You guys ready? Everybody playing home?
This will be my best time ever.
Okay. Okay, awesome.
Dave's been studying.
I've been studying.
The fun is found on the podcast because half of the show ends up on legitimate radio, and we don't want to embarrass the nice man who's let us go on there. So after the show is over is when we get to say what we really want to say, and that's on the podcast. That's why. That's why the fun happens on the podcast. I'm open to any other questions. I'm here all night. All right, here we go. Segler versus Solomon. Number one, first bit of wisdom. God gives every bird its food, but does not always drop it into the nest. God gives every bird its food, but does not always drop it into the nest. Secular or Solomon?
I'm going to go secular, Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabian bird food from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Booba. Nate Herrera.
I'm going to go secular via Mexico.
A twisted tongue Mexico. Dan Hudson, secular
that,
Solomon.
That is obviously secular, and there's got to be more birds in this area, so I'm going to go Australia, known for their birds.
Australia. All right, here we go. God gives every bird its food, but does not always drop it into the nest. Secular Danish.
That's right next to Australia.
Danish. Right next to Mexico.
Thank you, Dan, having taken geography.
That is a complete biff here in the studio. Nobody got it correct. Here we go. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Secular or Solomon? Nate.
I'm going to go Solomon.
Solomon, Dan Hudson.
You know, I hate to say it this way, but I kind of think that's opposite. So I'm going to go secular. And so it's probably, that's got to be somewhere in India.
Going out on a limb with secular Mongolia. India. John Boomer III.
You know, it's got the trigger word wise in there. And normally I jump on Solomon when I hear wise just because Solomon. But I'm going to go secular and I'm going to go Canadian.
That sounds Canadian. Yeah.
It does sound Canadian.
Secular Canadian. Here we go. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Scoff should have given it away. That is a proverb. Oh. Solomon, Proverbs 9:12.
What up?
Is on the wrong side of the Lord on this
one. Yeah. It just seems like if you're wise, you're helping other people. And if you're not, you're a scoffer, you're hurting yourself.
Are you disagreeing with Solomon?
That's why I said I had to be careful, but...
All right, so think through the whole one. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. It benefits you. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. So I think generally it's saying the impact of either your wisdom or your scoff will fall on you one way or the other.
And it's also not saying that wisdom is only good for you.
Yeah. It also says that Nate is right.
Oh,
it does say that.
It does say that.
That was right on. Here we go.
Nate's got one.
When a wife sins, the husband is never innocent. When a wife sins, the husband is never innocent. Secular or Solomon? Dan Hudson.
That is obviously that is a secular and a, that man. That's Kuwait. That's Kuwait written all over it.
Kuwait.
The guilty, sinful Kuwaitis with wandering ladies. Go ahead.
Did you really just make a rhyme?
You bet I did. That is a bumper sticker. Go.
Well played. I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to go Chile.
Holy cats. Pants? Go ahead, Nate Herrera.
I'm going to go secular and Russian.
When a wife sins, the husband is never innocent. The guilty party is the secular Italians. Pantsola. Solid. Solid guess, sir.
Did Pants get it right?
He did. Pants nailed it. Yeah, he did.
That's awesome, Pants.
All right, here we go. Man. There is no wise response to a foolish remark. There is no wise response to a foolish remark. Secular or Solomon? John Booba.
I'll go Solomon.
Solomon. Nate Herrera.
I will second that Solomon.
Bandwagon on the Solomon. Dan Hudson.
I'm bandwagon all the way.
Three
Solomon.
For three. There is no wise response to a foolish remark. Secular Romania.
That's what I said. Secular Romania.
You could cut the foolishness in here with a knife.
Oh. It sounded like
serve it to the needy.
A wise remark to help out our foolishness.
How embarrassing. Here we go.
That's what I said.
You're part of America's fastest growing unverified internet game show, Secular versus Solomon. I will give you the proverb, the bit of wisdom. You tell me whether it is secular, something of the world and the country of origination, or whether it is biblical wisdom, otherwise attributable to Solomon or that one other guy that wrote Proverbs. Who am I thinking of?
Like he starts with an A or something, doesn't it? Yeah, toward chapter 32-ish, 31-ish.
The wise A-fella. I once misquoted him in a sermon and attributed to Solomon, and I'll never regret it. I'll never forget it. It's been in my mind forever, except for I can't remember his name. Just be careful when you're in the Proverbs. Here we go. Milk the cow, but do not pull off the udder. Milk the cow, but do not pull off the udder. Those are some wise words. Nate Herrera, secular Solomon.
I'm going to go secular and India.
Secular, there are some angry cows in India, according to Nate Herrera.
Dan Hudson. Ripped off.
Secular Solomon.
I'm going secular, and it's New Guinea. They have an utter problem in New Guinea.
With aplomb, Dan says, New Guinea.
John, I'm over the third. Secular, the Netherlands.
Boy, milk the cow, but do not pull off the udder. Secular, Greek. Greek. There you go.
Close to the Netherlands.
Make sure to inspect your milk before you guzzle.
There
Don't
goes
buy
that
in the cart,
Greek
buy
yogurt.
In the glass.
Maybe another.
Here we go. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. Secular or Solomon? Where are we? John Buva.
I'm going to go Solomon.
Solomon, Nate Herrera.
Solomon.
That's a verified Solomon. Dan Hudson.
I will triple that. Solomon.
That's three for three.
This didn't go well for us the last time. We'll see.
The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. Attributable appropriately to Proverbs 10:7.
Yeah.
That's a Solomon.
Yes.
Solomon, very good. Secular Finland is incorrect. Thank you for playing. Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. Secular or Solomon, Nate Herrera.
That is Solomon.
That's the Solomon. Dan Hudson.
I'm going Solomon.
Two for two on Solomon.
I'll go Solomon.
Buva. Bandwagons. Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. Solomon. Proverbs 12:9. 12:9. Very good. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Secular or Solomon. Dan Hudson.
That's a Kenyan proverb. Secular.
The Kenyans are having troubles with the oxen.
The lions keep eating them.
The lions keep eating them.
That's why I don't go to Kenya. John Buva.
I'm going to go secular Sweden.
Swedes. Nate Herrera.
I'm going to go secular Pakistanian.
Pakistani. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Nobody knows the Lord. No, not one. Proverbs 14:4. What a mistake.
That must have been the one that wasn't written by Solomon.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we didn't want to say Solomon is because we knew that.
Here we go. Love tells us many things that are not so. Love tells us many things that are not so. Secular or Solomon. John Buva.
I'll go secular and I will go Russian.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The Russians have it rough.
They do.
In the ways of love. That's why there's always Russian ladies on the online dating sites.
Right.
I don't have a profile. I don't know anything about that. Never mind. Nate Herrera. Love tells us many things that are not so secular or Solomon.
Do I get a phone a friend?
No, that's not. No checking the Bible either.
I'll take secular French.
French. That's why I don't go to Kenya. Dan Hudson.
There's a big problem with this in Italy, and so they made up a proverb to try to help curb it. So, Italy, secular.
A lying woman who reflects the sins of the husband. Love tells us many things that are not so secular. Ukraine. Ukraine. Be on the lookout for scandalous ladies in the Ukraine. Secular. Here we go. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Secular or Solomon. Nate Herrera, bring us home.
Well, considering I've been rebuked many times, I'm going to go with Solomon.
Solomon, from personal experience, Nate is claimed to be a man of understanding. and not 100 blows into a John fool. Dan Hudson.
Yes, I'm going as well with Solomon.
Rebuking goes hard in Solomon's territory. That's why I don't go to Kenya. John Boover III.
Third strike, Solomon.
A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Proverbs 17:10.
Yeah, buddy.
Solomon. You didn't deserve that. You didn't earn that, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I did.
You barely skate along with some paltry biblical knowledge. Yeah, but I mean, no pumps, no arm celebrations. You skirted by.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey.
What happened? Why? Where's Mike at? He's supposed to keep me from doing things like that.
Whatever.
That's, you've been listening to America's fastest growing internet game show.
And now, for America's fastest growing game show, Secular
you can catch
or Solid?
Secular or Solid. Play along with the guests by going to livepath.org. And we'd love to have you check those out. Shannon Salusa played Secular vs. Solomon. Righteous Vendetta was in for Secular vs. Solomon. Lots of Nate Herrera was in for Secular vs. Solomon just recently.
Everybody's talking about
dominated.
It.
Yeah.
But he did pretty well. He really embarrassed you. Yeah. Anyway, that's what's going on. I hope you check those out. Have a good time. Enjoy. There's other quizzes out there. See if you can pick out what Christian radio says to raise money. That's out there. See what you know about the people who've claimed to know when the end of the world was going to happen. That quiz is out there.
Yep.
Lots of cool
things.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
All right. You're listening to Live from the Path. Here we go. Dear Live from the Path, my mother and I were close growing up. However, when I was in college, she abandoned the family. My siblings were in high school and elementary school for her much younger boyfriend. Ooh. Since then, our relationship has been strained. Particularly since I learned she used to tell her then-husband she was visiting me when she was carrying on her affair. After that, I learned about additional lies she had told me throughout my childhood. I'm married now and have two young children. Until a year ago, we lived in the same city. Mom never came around much because she was preoccupied with finding new boyfriends to support her. She has since moved out of state and stalks me on Facebook, harassing me to get Skype so she could talk to my children. My mother has never apologized for her actions to anyone and thinks we should just get over it. Because so much has come out about her, I want to protect my children from being hurt by her the way I was. I can't tell her outright that I don't want much to do with her for fear it will send her into an episode, and I don't want my kids caught in the crossfire. If I try to sugarcoat what needs to be said, she won't get it. Life in the path, what should I do? What are your thoughts, fellas?
I think that you be honest with your children. Say, here's the life that grandma has lived. I don't know if you need to cut them off from her, but just be honest with them and say, hey, mom's a sinner just like you and I are. I don't know their relationship with Christ. This is a woman, right, with her children. Yeah,
that's correct.
So we're gonna pretend that they're believers, and you've got to forgive mom. You don't have to keep her real close, but there's no reason to shut her out. Just be honest and say, hey, mom doesn't agree with our. We have different lifestyles, we have different beliefs, we have different values. Just understand when grandma says something, it's probably wrong.
Yeah,
and when it comes to morality, and put everything through that filter. I would just teach my children that filter because they're going to interact with people all over the place that have the same filter.
Yeah. That's not the only person that's ever going to be kind of wacky town.
Nope.
Yeah, I would agree with Dan. You need to make sure that you're guarding your kids, obviously. That's one of your responsibilities as a parent.
Oops.
But at the same time, you don't shut that person out just because of past flaws. I think that you should, as the daughter to this woman, you should try and mend the relationship because she is a sinner and so are you. You're no worse, she's no better, anything like that. But at the same time, I do think you can guard your kids for the most part, not necessarily just shutting them off, but... putting it through the filter, just like Dan said.
This woman seems like a real piece of work.
The grandma?
Yes. Yeah, I mean...
She does.
Here's the deal. I struggle with it. There's no sign of progress here. I mean, she's not repentant. She's not apologetic.
She's like, get over it.
Yeah. I mean, Skype, I might agree to Skype. I think Skype might work out.
Sure. That keeps a healthy distance.
Yeah. I think that would be all right. But
you
I mean,
can shut that off at any time.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd agree to anything beyond that. It's simply not worth it. And the thing is if you have people in your life that you can't tell the truth to because they might go into what you've quoted as an episode.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Now, here's the deal. It's this the daughter's obviously been hurt. you know, I my take with a not necessarily a grain. What's a smaller than a grain?
A grain of what?
A half a grain of salt. As to what she's saying, like there's probably it's probably more truth than not, but I mean there's probably it's probably reflecting a little bit on how she's been treated.
Sure,
you know you always think people are going to react the way that they always reacted and the way that you were hurt by.
Right,
but you know I think I could get on board with the Skype, but I'd probably be real wary of anything else. And the thing is like people that are like that are unrepentant that can do things like you know having the affairs and looking for boyfriends and stuff and abandoning your kids, like if they don't see it, you can't talk sense into folks like that. It's not like they're going to be, oh, you know what? You're right. I did some crappy stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like – and you'll waste your breath and you'll waste your life trying to help people like that. You can pray for them. You can put fences around what you'll let them do, what you'll let them say, how close you'll let them get to people as a protection. But it's also a mistake to underestimate God in those circumstances, that he can't do what he wants to do and that he can't help – to change the lives of those people there.
I think you can set it. I think she has a great opportunity to set an example to her children here in showing grace. And I think that there is a possibility if she is a believer of allowing her mother to see her life as maybe that's the only Bible she'll be able to see. She's not a believer and she's not going to church. Maybe this is a way to reach out to her mother and share the gospel. And like you said, it can be from Skype. It doesn't have to be in person, and you can have those barriers. But I think this could be a great possibility to show her kids, hey, this is what grace is. Even when someone hurts you as bad as my mother hurt me, or someone offends you a certain way, you can really show them grace. And we're called to forgive and forgive and forgive. And the grace bank that we get from Christ, it's an unlimited flow, and we can just hand that out whenever needed. So, I mean, I think that it's smart to put up those parameters and really, if their life shows a lot of dangers. But I think it's a great opportunity for her to really, really be an example in showing grace.
Yeah. You know, I grew up in a not completely similar, but somewhat similar situation where my father was pretty unfaithful and left the family and all that whole type of thing. And you know, I never looked at it as a personal assault on me. He didn't renege on his vows to me. He reneged on his vows to my mom, to his wife. And so I just – maybe I don't know why I processed it this way, but I figured that's really between him and God, and that's something he needs to work out, which fortunately he did later on in life. But I'm sure I had some anger issues, but I never – by the time I was an adult, you know, I didn't dislike him. I didn't – you know, I didn't keep my children from him. It was just like, well, what do you expect out of someone who is in rebellion from God? Is there, of course they're going to live out their desires, just as I would too. You know, like I say, fortunately, he became a believer himself later on, repented of everything, came to Christ. But
it's like dealing with any behavior that is not consistent with what God has asked. I mean, you're going to run into it. So the question is, can you and your kids recognize it? Can you give grace for people where it's needed? And you know, but can you use that as a time to recognize? You know, here's what God's asked to do for our protection, our joy, and His glory, and what's going on there, and is that it? And I mean, there's always an opportunity for that.
Yeah, I mean, her mom was not thinking, "Boy, I'm really willing to destroy my daughter. I'm going to find another boyfriend."
Yeah,
you know, it was her sin with her God that she needs to work out.
Yeah.
Just to comment back on that, she said that her mom left while she was in college, right? So
yeah,
she was an adult and out of the house and away. It seems like she's harboring a lot of this anger.
And she also mentioned she left her husband. She didn't say my dad.
Yeah, correct.
So this is already at least somewhere down the line. Yeah. This isn't her father even.
Right, exactly. And then it talks about how she left with kids. What did she say? High school kids and then siblings in elementary?
She was in college. Her siblings were in high school and elementary school.
Gotcha.
It's a wide span of kids, too.
Yeah, it really is.
So she's been around the block a few times.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think mom's just one guy. This might be from multiple dudes. Yeah, I think she might be harboring a little bit of anger that she didn't really have. It might have been for her siblings that some of the anger that she had was just basically, hey, you left them. I'm a fully functioning adult in college myself, but, you know, you left my brothers and sisters and everything like that. But like we've been saying, it's a perfect opportunity for her to show the love of Christ to her mother while being able to guard her kids and not necessarily allow mom to move in and live with her kids and everything. Like
yeah.
That,
so. You know, and that's an interesting, it's an interesting thought too, because I think sometimes that's a prescient issue in almost every circumstance. Because if you're going to take the love of Christ to sinners and tax collectors, there's some risk by hanging around folks that are sinners and tax collectors.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And the thing is like, and you can look at it and say, you know, well, Christ wasn't tailing around a couple kids and a wife. And that's true. But there's always a balance of like how many, you know, who can you get close to so you can share the gospel? But like, you're taking a risk by letting them get close. I've heard numerous stories from people of faith who have, you know, allowed people to be in their lives and be around their kids. And some bad stuff has come from that. Yeah. You know, Christ was shared with 50 people, and one of them was a real scurveball, and did something terrible. But the thing is, you know, that's a risk that comes with opening your life to share the message of Christ. Is like, there's risk in that, and that you're opening yourself up, you're potentially opening your family up and the people you know of and your life up to people that are screwy. All sinners are screwy. It's going to happen. Opening my friends that open their life up to me are bringing risk into their life that I could flip out and like totally drag on their life and interrupt their marriage and be difficult with their kids. And it's just a risk in being in people's lives, and it's a risk that we have to take. But you know, it's also a responsibility in order to have to protect those folks that we've been called to shepherd and protect.
Yep.
Just like Christ would lay in front of the gate for a sheep. And so it's always something where I think, you know, both of those are strong imperatives. And I think it's a little bit dangerous when we are willing to disregard for one for the other, but they are both still there. Like, there's still responsibility for both.
You know, I turned any hurt I may have had from my experience into a passion to make sure that would never happen in my marriage.
Yeah.
You know, she can turn this into a positive. She knows what it feels like to have your mom run off and go with someone else. So she needs to make sure she never does that.
Yeah.
That her total commitment is to her family and to her children, to her husband.
Yeah, and absolutely. And even through exposure of the grandmother to the grandkids, you know, she has a prime opportunity to rebuild the relationship with her mom.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's got some anger harbored, and you know
life's
but
just
everybody
too short.
Does that. But at the same time, it's not worth it to not have a relationship with your parents.
Yeah.
You know, I know that some people have been in some seriously bad situations with parents. I know that there's some things that people are just too afraid to even mention with their parents. But at the same time, you know, you're a sinner too. You messed up just like they have. They're no worse than you are, no matter how hurt you are. You know, God had love and mercy on you for the just ridiculous, disgusting things you've done. You need to do the same for them. And she can take that opportunity, rebuild the relationship with her mom, and at the same time being able to rebuild the relationship between her grandkid or her kids and her mom, and then strengthening the family in itself, and then obviously strengthening each and every one of them in their love of Christ as well. So,
the secular advice was, frankly, you'll save yourself a lot of grief if you just tell your mother you're not getting Skype and the reason why, and let her have her episode. As a parent, you have every right to insulate your children from anyone you feel might be a negative influence, and that includes their grandmother. Secular advice says no grace.
No grace. No
and grace. You have every right to insulate your children from anyone you feel might be a negative influence. Throw at your television.
Yes.
I mean, like, don't let them out of the house.
Yeah,
bury them in the basement. Everybody will be a negative influence.
You will not have friends.
As will you, because you buried your kids in the basement. That's why I don't go to Kenya.
They won't like you too much.
Okay.
Did you say that's why I don't go to Kenya?
I don't know what you're talking about. Dear Life in the Path. I've been dating my boyfriend for more than a year, and we are considering marriage. Cue damn. I am 23 and have never been dissatisfied with the way I look. The other day, he told my friend that when we get married and become financially stable, I should have filtered this one, he would pay for a boob job for me. I'm offended, mostly because I don't want one, and I don't think I need one. Do you think this speaks to his character or lack thereof?
Yeah. If you want the very short and sweet answer, absolutely. If he's been with you for over a year and the immediate thing that he wants to do when he is able to call you his is change you, I don't necessarily attribute that to a great guy. I would run, to be 100% honest. That's ridiculous.
As a Christ follower who is not married, I would say, first of all, how does he know if you need a boob job or not? Because he wouldn't know yet, because you're not married, right?
No one can see your eyebrows on the radio. But I'm with you.
Are you tracking with me here? But it's a shallow thing. He's obviously got some dissatisfaction. They need to have an honest conversation to say if it's just a silly thing or if it's something he can really live with and say, here's the deal. I'm not doing it. You're either marrying me or, you know, this what you see is what you get.
This is ridiculous. This guy.
What you don't see is what you get.
Right, exactly. This guy, he's taking a daughter of God that he's wanting to be in a relationship with. God created this woman exactly how she is. Mm-hmm. And he's immediately saying, hey, let's change stuff.
Yeah. He's not seeing her beauty that is truly, I don't care what you look like on the outside, the real beauty of a person is on the inside.
Oh, right. I'm a ready advocate here. Yeah. So what if she had like a cleft palate?
Yeah.
And he's like, when we get married and we get financially stable, I'll pay to help you get that cleft palate repaired. Would you say, this is God's daughter, and you're taking her how God created her, and you want to change her?
I would say, okay, so if you're playing the advocate there, I can see where that would be an issue, not just because that's a physical attribute that I can't stand. If that's something that she wants to change and he wants to change and it's a personal confidence issue with her and it's just something that she absolutely wants to get done, you know, I don't see a problem with it. But at the same time, he is looking at this from a purely cosmetic standpoint. She is not embarrassed about it. She is not upset about it. She's not losing confidence. She commented on the fact that she has had self-confidence in the past. He's just being a jerk and being a little boy and wants to change his toy that he's trying to marry.
I guess I'm just trying to make sure where your distinction is. So is the problem like changing God's creation, or is the problem that she doesn't agree with it?
I think the biggest problem that I see is that he wants to, or excuse me, that she doesn't agree with it. It's not something that they both want to do. It's just something that he's trying to change.
Another problem is he talked to the friend.
That, I think, is the big one.
Well, why are you talking to someone about something so personal?
Yeah. And her friend, like, I assume it's a girl, right?
Yes.
I would think so.
That actually, aside, throw the boob job aside, right? I'm more concerned that, like, they would consider getting married, and he's telling that kind of stuff to a friend of hers. He's not talking to her first. Like this catches her by surprise. That's he's gone. That is not a man to enter into a relationship with. He's the person that you share that kind of thing with is your significant other, not your significant other's friend. That's how she found out about it was because her friend told her that he was talking to her about it. Like that's across the board uncool. That's just not going to work.
Right. Yeah.
That's not a healthy foundation of a relationship.
Yeah, all the arrows point to dump this guy as quick as humanly possible.
Yeah. I think it's a lack of character. All right. Nate, did you have anything else?
No, I'll pass on that one.
Okay. here we go. Secular's advice. No, I think it speaks to the degree he assumes he can control or make choices for you. That he would say something like that to one of your friends without having discussed it with you is rather disconcerting. I don't blame you for being offended. Okay, so Secular would generally agree. I don't think it's as harsh as perhaps we would levy. I would say it's enough to chuck, and be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. Yeah,
major red flags.
Yeah. All right, dear Life in the Path. Hey, now, I operate a small internet radio station out of my house in Texas.
Texas, quote unquote.
okay, here we go. I play music 24/7, except on Saturday nights when I usually do a live talk show. A topic I raise every year coincides with my birthday. I announce to all who are listening that I have designated this day as Mind Your Own Business Day. On this day, my listeners are reminded that if they disapprove of someone's choice of mate, clothing, religion, favorite music, pets, and anything else that may be personal and nobody's business, to keep it to themselves. Would you be willing to mention this in your column and help me spread the word that while everyone has a right to an opinion, it doesn't mean everyone should be forced to listen to it? Thanks in advance, Jim in Texas. That's kind of pathetic.
No.
Yeah, that is a little bit ridiculous.
No one listens to my crappy internet radio show.
I feel like my point is enough to be put onto some national chain. You should help endorse me in that.
Would you just let everyone know, since they don't flock to listen to me on their own?
Can you let them know that this is Jim in Texas and you should mind your own business?
I'm pretty irrelevant.
Hey, but here's the thing. It doesn't mean everyone should be forced to listen to it. That's right. Turn off your radio. Stop hanging around people you disagree with. Don't watch the television. You don't have to listen to anything. Buy a set of headphones you don't like it. I don't.
Some earplugs walking around all day.
Here's the deal. Here's what the sad part is that Jim in Texas has the exact representation on the legitimized radio as we do, right?
Yeah.
You just flip on the internet and talk all you want to. That's us.
My advice is to get a real job.
I'm not trying to put ourselves above that guy. But
get a real radio show.
I'm working on my right end just to see if we can figure out my mind your own business day.
All right, you're listening live from the path. If you're listening on 99.3 KTAA, I've got to let you go. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. Make sure to check out the website at livefromthepath.org. You can catch past clips from the show, full episodes, sign up for the podcast. And I was going to say we're doing a free giveaway, but we don't really do that kind of stuff. So I can't entice you out there except for the things that we do. If you don't like the show, don't listen to it. Didn't we just talk about that gym in Texas? Have a good week, KTAA.
Since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, we will throw...
Okay, that's it. Ready? All right, here we go.
Did you say I love you guys?
I do.
You're creepy.
Why?
That's creepy.
Anybody that's creeped out by love is afraid to feel their inner feelings.
And is from Ukraine.
That's why I don't go to Kenya.
That's why I don't go to Kenya.
All right, here. Hold on. We got some more advice. People need help, Bubba.
They really do.
People still need
some
help.
There's some messed up stuff going on in the world, and that's why we're here. We're an institution that's going to give them some advice.
Okay, here we go. How's everybody doing on the chat? You guys doing all right? Hey, sorry. Back to something we were talking about. So the chat questions why, you can't really tell how large a lady is with clothes on.
Not if they're properly clothed. Modestly clothed.
You think a year in and this man has no idea?
Yeah, I was going to say, that might be...
It may be a hair naive, Dan. Just a hair.
I'm representing the Jesus side, okay?
Fair enough.
I've been dating a nun for years.
Which is radical.
Exactly. I've been dating a woman who wears a blanket.
A nun with a hoop skirt.
So she has a burqa, all right?
I've only ever seen her nose and her eyes.
I think they're blue, but it's dark.
I'm not sure.
And that still turns me on because I don't get to see noses in our culture. Dear Life on the Path. Booba, don't laugh at that. You're not right. That's why I don't go to Kenya. I'm a 60-year-old grandmother of 8 wonderful grandchildren, ranging in age from 2 to 24. My question is about babysitting. Good, she came to the right place.
Yes.
I believe my children think we owe them babysitting duties. I don't mind babysitting once in a while when I feel like it, but I don't feel like it.
Wow.
When the parents want to go out and party, or they tell me at the last minute, little Susie needs some grandma time. Or they want to go to the gym because they don't want to give up the freedom they had before their children came along. What are your thoughts on boundaries for this generation of parents who want it all at the expense of my generation who back in the day, if a neighbor kid couldn't babysit, we just stayed home? I know I should have some set rules at the beginning, but I'm starting to feel resentful of their expectations. Want some freedom too in Minnesota? What are your thoughts, fellas?
This Dan, you look like you want to weigh in on that.
This
one
is in our hen house right here, boys. Answer it.
Is there a slap button?
You're upset at grandma?
Well, that's no grandma.
Okay. And I understand that, but at the same time, the parents could be seriously taking advantage of
grandparents. Well, it can happen. You know, I can't imagine getting to the point where I have my grandchildren too much. I don't have any grandkids yet, but I've never, as a dad, ever resented, like, taking a day off and hanging with the kids or taking them to do... I mean, they're my children. You know, I crave the ability to be able to pass on my heritage to my grandkids. I hope I get to see them every single day. I don't get it.
And so, yes, that's a good thing, but at the same time, it depends on where her thoughts are with why she doesn't want to take care of the kids.
She's selfish.
That could be it, but at the same time, you know, these parents could be selfish as well, and they're shirking their responsibilities, parents.
I want to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and handing off these kids.
Give them to me.
Maybe the grandma's just taking it from a standpoint of, hey, you know, you need to take care of your kids too. I understand that you want me to babysit and things like that, but at the same time, you're the parent. You need to be spending more time than I am.
The grandma used to live in the house.
Ah!
The generation.
That's even worse.
She used to be there all the time, and they would just leave the kids anyway.
The poor kids probably thought grandma loved them.
Who taught the parents how to parent? That's what I want to know. I mean,
ooh, grandma.
That's a grandma. And
fingers back at grandma.
And what about, like, laying your life down for others, especially your grandkids?
I have to
agree with Dan on this. I mean, I can't see not wanting to spend time with my family.
Hold on a minute. Let me hop on the Booba train for just a minute. So the question is, though, talk about laying down your life, right? And so is it appropriate at the drop of the hat anytime they want someone to bring the kids by for you to be like, you know, well, I was going to go play bridge with my friend and other healthy relationships in my life that keep me sprightly and young. But no, I'm going to stay home with Susie because my daughter wants to go to the gym.
Well,
is that expected?
I think service can't just be when it's convenient to you. I think like true service comes when it's inconvenient and you have to, you know, really, really give up some of the things that you want to really help out. And I mean,
that seems very virtuous, Herrera. But here's the deal.
I was going to say, I don't want to disagree with that point, but at the same time.
Well, now, hold on. So I'm going to need you to make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich once an hour for the next, I don't know, 3 months, every day.
Is that because I'm Latino?
That's definitely. That's why. I thought peanut butter and jelly, yes. You know, and you know what I'm saying? Like yeah. The point is like I could be asking something that's ridiculous. That is, it's not even a matter of service. It's just, you know, I'm completely infringing upon your time for no other reason except for you'll allow it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that we can't focus on what everyone else is doing. We can only focus on our part in the situation. And I think you can have a conversation with the parents and say, "Hey, this is partially your responsibility, and I need a break." But still,
but
I mean, it's your grandkids. It's your grandkids. I mean, they're supposed to be a blessing. And when we start treating them like a burden, that can kind of be worrisome. Yeah.
I agree at the same point, but I don't think she's trying to treat it as a burden. I don't think she's saying that she loves to take care of the grandkids. But I think I can't imagine that she's not taking this from a standpoint that the parents are getting way too excessive. Yes, spending time with your grandparents or grandkids every day would be awesome, Dan. But at the same time, if it's being spent with, you know, one of your kids dropping their kids off every single day so they can go to the gym at 3:30 every day, they come back at 9:30, said, "Hey, we got stuck going out to dinner. Thanks for taking care of the kids. Can they crash here tonight? Is that okay?" "Well, yeah, they're my grandkids." Next day rolls around. "Well, I got gym again today, Dan. Is it okay if you take them?" "Well, yeah, sure. They're my grandkids. I can take them every day." I think that she is being taken advantage of. I think she does have a heart for her grandkids and does love them, but at the same time doesn't want it to be just she's a dropping point for her grandkids.
If it's getting difficult, you just load them up with Mountain Dew and Twinkies right before mom picks them up, and pretty soon they'll stop.
So just get back at the parents, huh?
Yeah, I think
like, "Oh, you drop them off here again? Taste this Mountain Dew."
I think with the partying, I mean, it's like so the parents are going out and partying. Do you want them to take the kids with them? Or, yes. I mean, if you're having the conversation, it's like, be that positive example that maybe the parents aren't being.
What do they care? Go out and party. Have a good time. Here's the deal. Is my mom will do that all the time. "Hey, me and the lady want to go out and have a good time. And it's weird to take the kids to the restaurant. Can you watch the kids tonight so we can go watch a movie and party? Have a good time?" And my mom's like, "Thumbs up. Yeah, absolutely."
And I think, right, and I think that's okay. That's all right to do if you need to get away and you need to do your date night once every 2 weeks or a month or whatever. But I feel like if I'm interpreting this right, that it's way more excessive.
She didn't say.
Right, but that's what I'm pulling from it, is it seems like it's being way too excessive. I don't think she's making this comment because, you know, mom and dad drop their kids off once every 2 weeks.
I think she's got the wrong heart for it. Actually, I'm besides the fact that he's not going to make me them sandwiches because he's not as pious as he believes he is, I think Herrera's right on this thing. Because look at how she describes it, right? "I don't mind babysitting once in a while when I feel like it."
Yeah.
She's really, you know, she's like, you know, "I will do it because it brings me joy. Yeah. I'm not willing to serve you. I just, you know, if it's okay with me, then I'll do it."
And I'm not okay. Fair enough. I suppose that's true. But at the same,
what are you trying to date an old woman? Why are you talking like this?
I think that these could very easily be put in the light of the grandma just being a jerk. But at the same time, it could very easily be the parents just taking full advantage of this opportunity.
I think so. I think
it could be one or the other.
I think there's resentment in the grandma. Because she says things. Well, first of all, little Susie needs some grandma time. Grandma knows that she's being pushed over when you say stuff like that. We say, "I don't feel like it when the parents want to go out and party, or they tell me at the last minute, or they want to go to the gym because they don't want to give up the freedom they had before their children came along." There seems to be a little bit of resentment in it there. It's like, "I didn't get to act that way when I was younger. My kids shouldn't be able to act that way either." But here's the deal, is like, if the situation has changed and grandma's around to watch kids, I don't know why you wouldn't want your kids to have it all. if they can go out and party every once in a while, and they can go to the gym, and they can do those things and still have kids and still have a life, wouldn't you as the parent want that? Want that for your kids? "I'll do what I can to help them have it all. That's what I want. I want my kids to have it all."
Yeah, but I think the parents could very easily be just shirking their responsibility as parents. Mm. I think
it really could go either way. It could be the grandmother being a jerk and not wanting to spend any time with her grandkids just because she didn't have that as a luxury when she was, you know, growing up or being a parent of these kids now. But I think it could also very easily be just two self-centered jerks that ended up having kids that want to live the single life still and want to live the life they had before kids.
And again, I agree with her. It's ultimately grandma's fault. She's produced these children. And good advice, by the way. Either one of you could be right. Live long and prosper.
Yes, exactly.
So, right. Wisdom all around.
I would honestly say they need to sit down and have a conversation and figure out what it is. If the kids are taking advantage of the grandmother, I don't think that the grandmother should just have to be being walked all over. That's not the concept. We're not called to be walked all over. You know, God doesn't call us to just serve everybody just for the sake of them needing or wanting it. We need to discern what's an actual need, figure out how we can really glorify Christ through how we're serving people, and then that's the service that we do. We don't give $10 to everybody who comes around saying, hey, I want to go get a cake real quick just because I'm really hungry for some sweets. You're a church. You're supposed to serve me. Can I get $10? We're supposed to discern what we're supposed to be doing with our service. And I think if what we're doing is letting these parents go footloose and fancy free, go party, go to the gym... And just be
characterization of these people is like very inflated.
Yes, and I'm sure it is.
They're always hitting the disco, and you know,
they go parties, they go to clubbing, and drink like a case of Red Bull every night. No, I think that it could very easily be a place where the grandmother needs to discern where she's going to stand. And I would say that's probably what's
happening. So largely I agree with the last part of what you said. I think there is a degree of discernment, and they should be talking about it. That I can agree with. Otherwise, I don't know why you're on this granny boat. We've got some old lady that makes you like,
bread stuff. I really just want this to be this cliche grandmother that has a country apple pie sitting on the windowsill every single day.
Since you're making cookies anyway, can the kids come over?
Yeah, exactly.
Here we go. Secular advice. There is truth to the saying that good fences make good neighbors, and the philosophy applies to many circumstances. Setting clear boundaries makes for healthier relationships. Keep in mind that many grandparents would love to have your problem. But as you stated, your problem was in not setting ground rules from the beginning and raising punk, child, selfless children. Because you feel resentful, it's time to have a frank talk with your children and say that as much as the grandkids may need grandma time, grandma also needs grandma time. And when you do, be firm, because unless you stand your ground, nothing will change.
Grandma has all day long.
What are your thoughts on that, Booba?
That grandma has all day long just because she's retired. She should spend every minute with the grandkids.
She could play crochet by herself later.
I am very glad that we have the notion that grandparents should spend time with the grandkids. And I agree with that entirely. Not once have I disagreed. Like I said, I think it could be very easily that the parents are just taking advantage of grandma.
Are you going to make those sandwiches for me, Herrera? Is that going to happen or what?
Yeah, can I get one of those sandwiches?
No. Hey, no.
Hey, there's not enough
bigger
jelly
than both of you. I want
everyone.
A PB&J.
I'm going to have some when I go home.
Dear Life of the Path, here we go. Final one. I'm 62 years old and a widower. My wife passed away in July 2011. Good, this is right up our hen house too, boy. Whoa. It has taken me a while to get over losing her. I realize how much she did for me as I have been learning how to be a house husband without a wife. My wife told me this was the first house she lived in that had a dishwasher. She was so proud of it. I could never understand why she would wash the dishes before putting them into the dishwasher. Now I have to do it myself. I understand why. My question is there a detergent that will actually clean the dishes? Also, do you have any cute readers who would like to teach an old man how to clean house fending for himself? Booba.
Please tell me that you just made up the ending of that.
No.
He seriously wants to reach out to a columnist to figure out if there's a good detergent.
Is there a detergent that will actually clean?
And then also...
He's really looking for a new wife.
Yeah, exactly. No, the dude doesn't care about the detergent. He just thought that'd be funny to go along with, hey, do you have any cute readers who might want to come take care of me?
Here's the deal.
I'm a pansy of a man. Do you want to come do my laundry?
That's pervy. It's pretty pervy to write to Dear Abby, ask about detergents, right? And then ask for a woman.
The dude's a creep. Yeah. Like
I could do this myself, or if you could send a lady over.
And you notice, it wasn't like his deep love for his wife. It's right. All the things she did for me.
Exactly. I miss the fact that I didn't have to do dishes at one
time. I realize how much she did for me.
I really missed the way she did dishes and cooked for me.
He took the how many years of marriage that they had together for complete granted. Did not. That's ridiculous. This guy's a joke of a man.
I've also.
He's looking for a maid, is what he's looking for. He's lonely and wants someone to come and do his dishes.
Do you guys happen to actually know the detergent that?
I was just thinking
gets those
that too.
Dishes clean.
If we have an answer to that question,
Cascade
really
works
it.
Pretty well.
Cascade works pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we contact them for some product placement? all right, Cascade works too, but this guy's a creeper.
I don't know what's worse, this or those Craigslist ads.
That's true.
For what? For detergent?
For dating.
For dating.
Yeah, I'm not aware of those, boys. I don't go searching the Craigslist for ladies.
Yes, that's where we're coming from.
I apologize.
That was just all from personal experience.
I've got an old school, I said, hey,
can you read the last sentence? What did he say again?
Also, do you have any cute readers who would like to teach an old man how to clean house? He did not specify ladies. She should send a hot dude over there. I'm here.
I'm a pool boy and I do dishes.
Oh, we're making it even creepier. We are making it worse.
At least he said to teach him how, not to do them for him. So maybe he wants to learn.
No.
Reaching out.
And he only learns from cute ladies.
Or fellas. Did.
I
think context was
just people who can read who are cute.
Anybody, I'm imagining this creepy old dude that's just saying, "Hey, you want to come over and teach me how to do dishes?"
Okay, we were supposed to be giving him advice. Here's my advice to you, sir. YouTube is filled with videos of how to do about everything. I'll bet you there are YouTube videos on how to do dishes.
And I bet they have cute people doing them as well.
Could be. They might even just show the hands, and that way you're not distracted.
Yeah, that's true.
With whatever else he's looking for, he can learn how to do dishes.
Yeah, I think you're doing just... You'll be able to do them on
your own. And I recommend that you go to the store and buy a series of different dishwashing detergents and find which one works best for you.
Pick your personal best.
Yeah.
Go on Google and look up product reviews. I'm just weirded out by this guy.
Okay, so our basic advice is no, we will not send anybody to your place. And B, do what everyone else does and try one until you find one that works well. Or, you know what, switch to paper. He's an old man living in his house. All right? Screw the environment. It screwed you. Pick up some paper plates.
It took your wife. Give it right back.
It's taking its vengeance upon you. Get some paper plates. But eat out of the pan or the can or whatever it is you make. And just live your life.
No, then he's going to have a dirty place for all these cute people to come over and help him with his dishes.
There are all kinds of YouTube videos on how to wash dishes. Get some rubber gloves, according to this.
Just YouTube doing dishes?
That's awesome.
It's ridiculous. This guy's creepy.
All right, is that it?
Yeah. What was Secular's advice?
Secular's advice. Here we go. I'm sorry. I can't print your name or location because if I did, you might be crushed in the stampede.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that not the most sexist thing you've ever heard of?
I love it.
There's a bunch of ladies waiting for the newspaper. I hope some kind of old creeper asks someone to help him with his dishes.
I really hope I can go over to someone's house and take care of the dishes for them. Maybe an old 61-year-old widower.
Who can, perv at me while I'm trying to help him
out? Who can watch me do his dishes, you creepy
man? Yeah, there's grace for that. Good luck, fellas.
Exactly.
Skype the man, see what happens.
There you go. This is how you do dishes, sir.
That's why I don't go to Kenya.
That's why I don't go to Kenya.
All right, I'm sorry, you might be crushing the stampede. If you and your late wife were married 20 or 30 years and the dishwasher was already installed in the house when you moved in, it is now practically an antique. Because you've tried several brands of detergent and your dishes aren't getting clean, you probably need a new dishwasher. And I do not mean a cute young one. probably need a new... I don't know. It's got to be dangerous giving advice that far away from someone. It's like you just told an old man to go buy a new dishwasher.
Right.
He's probably a pensioner. He don't have much money. He's going to go drop $450 on like a new Whirlpool. He just needs to like buy a...
I'm sorry. At 61, I don't know. I think he should be able to do his own dishes.
You know, if he had the grandkids over more often, they'd do the dishes.
If he wasn't such a jerk with his grandkids, he should probably have them come over and do dishes.
I don't know what made you such a hard, callous man, Booba.
I just feel like that grandma was taken advantage of. I feel like she's a sweet Southern belle that puts out country apple pie and is like really nice and has the high voice and is just wonderful.
You're listening to Live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out. You can catch this live show every Monday night at 10 p.m. at livefromthepath.org. or Saturdays at 7 o'clock on 99.3 KTIA. Make sure you check out the website. Hey, shoot us an email. You need some advice? I mean, if you need legitimate advice, don't always ask somebody else. But if you have some, like, fake sign advice or illegitimate problems, we're the guys. Send it info at livefromthepath.org. Also, we'd love to pray for you. If you've got anything you want us to pray about, shoot us an email, and we'd love to be doing that for you. You can try to hide your name, but we'll have your email address. You might as well be upfront with it. We might even rebuke you to your face, because we love you. Have a nice week. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path.